Good afternoon, good morning. I would like to give a little introduction to upcoming Yom Tov Sukkot. We know that actually Sukkot and Pesach represent the same message: to commemorate our redemption from Egypt. We became the chosen people, the birth of the Jewish people. This is all called Zecher Letziyas Mitzrayim, to commemorate we came out of Egypt. The symbol of leaving Egypt means that we have been cut off of the rest of the human race, that we have been chosen by God to become His representatives, to fulfill the purpose of creation, which means taking responsibilities to bring back the world to his original beauty, to bring back man to his original eternal existence as God originally created him. And that was because Abraham chose God and committed himself to Hashem. I'm going to reincarnate into the world. I give up my freedom. I give up my independency, and I throw myself totally depending on you. And then Hashem tested him with a 10 test, and finally he gave him the covenant and the unconditional, non-revocable guarantee that your children will make it. But he told them, in order to do it, first they're going to go down, your descendants, to Egypt. They're going to be cultivated there for 400 years, as the Maharal calls it. It's a pregnancy process, that the physical body of the Jewish nation will have to be cultivated, just like a baby has to cultivate in 9 months to give a healthy body, give birth to. So the Jewish physical body, the Jewish nation's physical body, will be cultivated in Egypt. And then I'm going to take him out of that, and that is the departure of Egypt, is the birth of the Jewish people. And from there Hashem took us into the desert. Now, we have Pesach, to commemorate Yetzias Mitzrayim, which we have to do all the time. We do it every morning, every night, in Shema, we have it in the Tefillin. We always commemorate Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. And we have Sukkot. Sukkot is the same thing. Mayedu, L'doy Resechem, a future generation should know, Ki B'Sukkot Seshavtes Bnei Yisrael, I made him sit in the Sukkah, but when I took him out of Mitzrayim. Now, every Yom Tov has one symbol, every message and every gift has one symbol, commemoration, or let's call it a celebration. Shavuos, there's only one Shavuos. Receive the Torah, there's only one Rosh Hashanah, there's only one Yom Kippur, there's only one Chanukah, there's only one Purim. But Yetzias Mitzrayim, remember, coming up Mitzrayim, we have 2 sevens, 7 days of Pesach, of Passover, and 7 days of Sukkot. And you take note that the second Sukkot takes place in the coming year after Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. One point which I would like to explain. The second point which I would like to explain, and I just bring it first as an introduction, as a reference. How do we celebrate Pesach? Is the main thing which you celebrate is not eating chametz, eating matzah. And we tell the Haggadah, we tell the story, drinking 4 cups of wine. The main food consumption, which symbolizes freedom, symbolizes royalty, that you became the nation of the princehood, of the priesthood, is matzah and wine. Matzah and wine. And we take it into our system, we eat them, we're supposed to eat them. And it has to be totally sterile, pure, no chometz. The wine has to be good wine. No, how you call it, the shmorim, which is called it. It has to be pure, clean, and sterile of chometz. Sukkot, we don't take anything in. There's no intake of sukkot. We don't eat anything. In sukkot, matter of fact, we going into the sukkot after taking the food into us. We walking into the sukkot. We dip ourselves into the shadow of the sukkah. we take the four species, the etheric, lunar, fathers, and we shake them for the all four corners of the world. It's all external, and external is covering us. We are being covered and protected. We don't take anything in. And by the way, what is the Hechsher Sukkah? What makes the real Sukkah, the Kashrut? What validates the Sukkah is the Schach. What is the Schach? And I'm not going to elaborate because it's a Talmudic expression. Psoiles goyren v'yekef. Learn it. Certainly the waste of the wheat, the waste of the grapes, which is matzah and wine. Matzah is the cream of the crop of the wheat, the finest and the finest which you could can, that's matzah. And the waste all you throw away, it's all waste. Wine, you take the grape and you press and you throw away all the waste and the leaf, everything. You take out only the wine, put them in pottery and make good wine. That's what you drink. You take in the matzah, which is the cream of the wheat. You take the wine, which is the cream of the grape, and you take it into your system. By that you're commemorating leaving Egypt. Sukkot, we don't take anything in. We go into the sukkah, and the sukkah is validated and makes it kosher. What? You take the waste of the wheat, which is a schach. You take the waste of the grapes, the branches, and that's all what you could cover the sukkah. If you would cover the sukkah with grapes, it would be non-kosher, because it's food. It has to be dafka waste. So I just brought out these two interesting anecdotes of the facts. It has to have a meaning. How come the boat commemorates leaving Egypt? Let's confuse us a little bit more with a new other piece of information. We know that all the three holidays, which is Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, symbolizes. Pesach is a Zman Yom Chag HaMatzos Hazeh, these days of Matzos, Zman Cheri Seder, the time of our redemption. We have been redeemed of Mitzrayim. Shavuot is a Yom Chag HaShavuot, this is the Shavuot, and Yom Matan Torah, we receive Torah. What do we Sukkot? Yom Chag HaSukkot Hazeh, this is the Sukkot, Zman Simcha Seder, the time of our rejoicement. We don't say Zechret Yis Mitzrayim, as Zman Cheri Seder, the time of our freedom, as we said in Pesach. Sukkot is the time of rejoicing. The truth of the matter, the Torah says, "V'samachta b'chagecho," you should rejoice in your festivities, in your holidays. The mitzvah is a requirement to celebrate and to be rejoiceful all three holidays. So the Rambam says, Maimonides says, although it's a mitzvah and it's a commandment, an absolute commandment, to rejoice all our holidays. But Sukkot, Roy Mismarva Beyoser. Sukkot, you have to be more rejoiceful. More rejoiceful. What is it? It's a holiday like any other holiday. What is the addition? And you see it, the way we give reference to the holiday is this Zman Simchus, the time of rejoicing. Pesach is also time of rejoicing. We say the time of our redemption, of our freedom. And you have to rejoice the freedom. You have to be happy about the freedom. Shavuot, the time of receiving Torah, you have to be happy. Sukkot, nothing, just a time of rejoicing. What is the difference? And the answer to that is, I will use a mashal, a parable, which actually comes from the Meral. Take a poor man who was totally penniless, and he won the lottery ticket. Overnight, he got $10 million. Is he happy? He doesn't know what to do with his happiness. He's rejoicing. He's making a party. This poor man, this beggar, became a multimillionaire. He's very, very happy. Take a second situation. A rich multimillionaire, unfortunately, lost all his business, went bankrupt. He became penniless and became poor. Then he reinvested in business, worked again, and he regained all his lost money, became again a millionaire. Of course, he's also happy. Now, think twice before you answer fast. Who is happier, the second or the first? Who is really happier? The second. Now, I will ask you a very logical question. You know, the poor man, when he says, if I would have only have $10 million, I would be the happiest person. So when he made it, he thinks, really, I got license to be the happiest person. So I would go over to the poor man before he made a $10 million. So you think money will make you happy? Go over to this rich man before he lost his money. He has all the millions. Ask him if he's happy. He says no, because money doesn't make you really happy. So why do you think I would want to make money, going to make you happy? Why are you having delusions? Ask the man who has the money. See, he's not happy. But the poor man doesn't know it. So he thinks, if I would have money, that's all my problem. So when he makes that money, he's really happy. But the rich man, when he had money, he was just as disgusting and uncared. When he had the money, he was not happy. And he lost the money. Now when he regains the money, he's not really happy for the money, because money was never made him happy to begin with. Why is he happier than the first one? Ask a logical question. What?
What is achievement?
When achievements have to have a goal. And the answer is, the poor man, when he's happy for the money. He didn't get any change in his personality. The second one, the money is only a means who gives back his identity. He was called before a rich man, then he became a poor man. He lost his title. And by regaining money, he's not really happy to the money. He just got back his title. He got back himself. When he lost the money, he lost himself. And when he regained the money, he got back himself. The poor man, it was never himself. Even when he got the money, he didn't get himself. He was still the same schnorrer, the same unknown businessman. He just made $10 million that doesn't know what to do with the money. He just has to take a donkey, put a sack of money on him. There's still a donkey with a lot of money on him. The poor man put money, it's nothing more than that. He's happy for the money. But he didn't get any change in his personality. Says the Meral, Pesach, we were poor people. We were a part of the human race. And Hashem, and we deteriorated to the bottom of the bottom, we almost integrated with the rest of the people. And when we hit bottom, we had the most poverty situation. Hashem all of a sudden airlifted us, gave birth to us, it came out, and we became the multimillionaires, we became the chosen people. So be happy. Zman Chayv is saying, it's our time of redemption. The poor man, he made $1 million overnight. Of course, we were happy. We were happy for the freedom. Do we know how to use the freedom? Do we know what to do with the freedom? Does the poor man know what to do with the money? I always say in America, everyone kills himself to make money. You kill yourself to make money. Until you made the money comes and kills you. Right? You kill yourself to make the money until the money comes and kills you. We gain freedom. It means freedom. You got back the image of God. If you're happy to your freedom, but we know what happens later. 40 days after receiving the Torah, we had the maximum freedom. You made the golden calf with your freedom. You didn't know how to maintain. You didn't know how to operate. You didn't know how. So we were happy for our redemption, but it's not us. Didn't yet make a dent in us. You didn't capture it yourself. So you were happy, like an external happiness. So therefore, it's not Zman Simchas in time for rejoicement. It is. We are happy that we have been freed, and I'm happy for my freedom. Freedom which we got, but I'm happy for the freedom. Shavuos, we receive Torah. So we're happy to receive Torah. Before we had no Torah, now we got Torah. But what happened after that? We became millionaires. We became free people. We got Torah. We regained eternity. We regained life forever. We accomplished our purpose. 40 days later, we broke the tablets. We lost the Torah. We lost our greatness, we lost our freedom, we went back into mortalism, we became mortal, become dead people again after we made a golden calf. Here is the multimillionaire, lost all his money, lost all his things. My question is, when this Yoyret, as we call it, this man who went bankrupt, he came from his multimillionaire, went, lost everything, and is putting in new efforts to regain. What is he putting effort in? Does he need the money which he wants to regain? Or the money is nothing more than a tool who gives him back his title? When we lost everything, then we wanted to get back our title. Wanted to get back ourselves. I lost our personality. And that's sukkah. That symbolizes right after Shavuos, when we lost everything, Shavuos HaBetamos, the 70th day of Tammuz, actually when it was the break of the first tablet. And then Tisha B'Av, when we lost our Aves HaMikdash. We lost all our connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and driven out of our homeland, all the destruction took place. And then we're going into the days of into the days of Elul, where we wanted to recapture the Ani, the I. remember we spoke a lot about the whole emphasis on Elul is Ani L'Doidi, I am for my lover, I am for him, I belong to him. And our entire emphasis was in the month of Elul is to recapture us, me, my personality, to recapture the I, to give myself back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not the comfort of the freedom that we're looking for. It's not the comfort of the money which the money gives you, which that in himself is also rejoiceful. But I wanted to become free again to belong to God. I wanted to receive back the Torah. So when in the month of Elul, when we re-identified ourselves and we on Rosh Hashanah reincarnated Hashem in ourselves, that means we got back the title that, as we said, I think we said, Pesach, Hashem became our father. We were innocent children. He gave birth to us. But Rosh Hashanah, we made Hashem king. That's the Ovinu Malkeinu. Hashem is our father because he gave birth to us on Pesach. On Rosh Hashanah, we gave him back the title of king, became Malkeinu. And that's the most powerful prayer, that we regained our child, our being a child of Hashem by maturing, by coronating Hashem. We went away from Hashem. We had not appreciated being a child of Hashem. We lost the Beis HaMikdash. We broke the tablets. And by us coming back to Hashem and recoronating Hashem, Malkeinu, so not only had we accomplished it, we came back to Hashem, but we recaptured the Ovinu, the fatherness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which we received on Pesach. And on Yom Kippur, Hashem totally re-cleansed us, put us back into the original pure position as we were in Sinai. And on Yom Kippur, we received the second tablets. So we recaptured the tablets. On Rosh Hashanah, we reconnected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by coronating him, not going away from him. So we gave ourselves back to Hashem on Rosh Hashanah. That was what we lost, the Pesach, the Vinu. We made a Malkeinu, so by that we re-validated his being our Vinu, our father. On Yom Kippur, we recaptured Shavuos, the tablets. We broke the tablets in the golden calf. On Sukkah, on Yom Kippur, we received the second tablets. This is called B'yom Chasunosoi, B'yom Simchas Livoi. The day of your wedding, the day of your rejoicing, of your heart, was on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur was the really that we recaptured both losses. We recaptured Rosh Hashanah, Yetzias Mitzrayim, Hashem is the king. And Yom Kippur, we recaptured Shavuos, the second set of tablets. And now, what is happening now? We got back our title. Now, with the second time that we came out of Egypt, now the second Yetzias with Mayeda Darisech, we should know in your generations later, Kivisukah Sashabtu Gnesu, I made my Jewish people sit in the Sukkah. But what the Yetzias Mitzrayim was? Did Hashem take you out or you took yourself out? You took yourself out. How did you take yourself out? That you gave yourself back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now what is the difference? Let me give an analogy. I want to create an analogy that really fit the message that I would like to give. You have a nice baby born into the family, a little infant. The infant is the infant, does not comprehend the father and the mother, the family setting, the surrounding. It just grows naturally in the family, grows. So that this is my daddy, that's my mommy, that's our relationship. How about this child was kidnapped and was taken away and was away for 20 years? And the child has a memory at the age of 3, 4, of a daddy and a mommy. And the child knows that I'm missing my daddy and mommy. And for 20 years, the child is independent. And searches to find his daddy, finding his family, until he found his family. And he makes and fights himself back, and reconnects, and reunites with his family. And he re-embraces his family. The family gets united again. What's the difference with the first child, which never left, was raised naturally in the situation, or the second one? The first one, if daddy doesn't buy what he's supposed to die, he puts up a tantrum. If mama doesn't cook the food that she likes, you could say nasty words to the mommy, because she deserves everything, she gets everything, everything's entitled for. He was always catered, always given. He doesn't know that. He's not appreciated. The second one, who was 20 years searching to find his family, to find his origin, and he fought himself in, and finally embraced his parents. His parents may give him throw them out to the shack and throw them out in a wooden who knows where and starve it, whatever that is, nothing on the world will ever push this child away, because the child worked himself back. The child worked very hard, because the child came back with knowledge, came back with search, came back with understanding. Pesach is Amunah, is faith. We were infants, and infants you have to feed with sterile food. It could very easily be poisoned. A little chometz poisons the kid. A little chometz poisons the Jew, disconnects him from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It has to be the cream of the crop. You have to like you pamper away a little baby. You have to take that wheat and the wine, and have to take the best of the matzah and the best of the wine and put it into his system. In Chas Hashem, it's as polluted and it's not as clean, it's not sterile, it's poisonous, and you got disconnected. But when we fight ourselves back, when we came back after we destroyed everything, we grown up and we rejected Hashem and we walked out on him, and then we came back to Hashem, Anila Doidi, and we reincarnated Hashem and we rebuilt the second tablet. We fought ourselves back. So when it comes to Sukkot, you reach the same accomplishment as Pesach, the redemption, the separation, the chosenness. But now you had worked for your chosenness. There, not only you don't have to take in that food, you could be rejected the food, and you have to live under a shadow, you have to live under a roof which is raining in. It's the waste of that what you received as a baby food when you came out of Pesach, because that's knowledge. Therefore, on Sukkot L'mayedu Darisechem, you will know. And by the way, it's interesting that the Yedu, the knowledge of it, is Yedu Darisechem for your future generation, which is actually goes for all generations, even up till today. For this generation, which is happening today. In other words, the Sukkot is the symbol that every single individual human being could recapture on his and her own effort the old experience which Hashem gave on golden platters on Pesach and Shavuos. You could fight for your Torah, and you could give yourself become a tablet, the second set of tablets. You become your Hashem's people, the chosen people, and that symbolizes Sukkot. And therefore, Zman Simchos Seinu, this is our rejoicement. I'm not rejoicing the benefit and the comfort and the fame and the pleasure which we have, which Hashem gave you. We're benefiting and rejoicing, getting back our identity, getting back what we had lost, our name, that we are Am Hashem, the nation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's called as Zman Simchos Seinu. Now, it's very nice in theory. But the question is, what really is the absolute guarantee that you got back everything? Now, if I sound deep, and if you didn't get really the detail out of this lecture which I'm going to give, because I'm going to make it shorter, but if you want to have a reference about it, in my book, Self-Esteem, the second part, I'm speaking about Pesach, and I'm explaining there the specialty of the wine and of the matzah. Do you realize, every time when we celebrate a higher, we make Kiddush, we sanctify Shabbos, we sanctify Yom Tov, or we sanctify a marriage, Kiddushin, of the Nidachupe, or sanctify the Bris, Milah, we make a circumcision, or even Bapiyena Ben, when we redeem our children. Every time when we come connected to time, the situation, when we connect into a higher source of holiness, we make a higher connection to God, it always performs a wine, make a bite of priyagofen, and bread, either wine, either bread, most of us both, you make a suda. Friday night, you have the two chalas. You could make kiddush on the two chalas. It's preferable to make kiddush on wine. If you have wine, you could make it on the chalas. Why? What symbolizes the wine? What symbolizes the matzah, which is the wheat? Which, by the way, sukkah is the waste, as we said before. The schach is the waste of those two things. That's what, anything is kosher. Any branch, any leaf, any non-fruit, any leaf is kosher. But the way we learn, what is schach? Psoiles goyim v'yekev. The waste of the wheat, the waste of the wheat. What are those two things symbolizing? We know that every food that you take in your hand and you eat, you have to make a blessing, you have to make a bracha. So you take an apple, you say, by the pure eight, you created this fruit of the tree. If you eat grapes, you make Bhairapriya eats. This is a fruit of a tree which God created. If you take wheat, eat wheat and just have him over the fire. How do you call him? He want to eat wheat himself. You make Bhairapriya Dhamma. It's like any vegetable, anything which comes from the earth. Wheat, if you eat wheat in an eatable way, you make Bhairapriya Dhamma. However, when you take that wheat and you ground them and make flour and make a dough and bake them, it's a new blessing. You made from this Adomo, from this wheat, you should have taken the way God created them, you made Bhairapriya Dhamma, you created the fruit of the earth. When you add your partnership and you develop them, you process them, when the human energy processing gets involved, gets a new bracha, Hamoitzelecha Min Ha'aretz. Same thing is with wine. You take grapes, originally as God made them grow, you make Bhairapriya. You process them, you press them, take out the wine. Now, if you take oranges and you eat them as God processed them, you make Bhairapriya. Take out the juice, make Shahakon Yomidvorai. Because he had not processed any new thing, it was in it. You don't eat the flesh, not eat the fruit, you make Shahakon, which also God made. This juice was also made by God. Everything was created in God. But when you take the juice of grapes and you make wine of it, make Boire Pri Hagofen. God bless you that you created the fruit which produces wine, but the wine was accomplished by me. This is the only two things which get a change in the blessing, because man had improved the original creation. In other words, God had not created wine, God had not created bread. God created the potential of wine, the potential of bread, making wheat and making grapes. And they have a different bracha the way God made them. But when you come in and you add your processing part to it, it gets an improvement. And by the way, they're very, very, if you ate wheat, it would never satiate you so as you eat bread. And if you ate grapes, nothing will happen to your brain. But when you add your two cents, you work your own effort, you make from grapes wine, it's going to take your brilliant mind, and it's going to intoxicate, and you're going to get drunk. That means man's, that symbolizes, these two productions symbolizes that God gave room for mankind to participate and to develop the world over and above the original, the way God created them. There's room in the world for improvement by man's involvement. It all to God does everything, and he gets all the credit. Everything is Hashem. But Hashem symbolizes in these two products that there's room for man's involvement and make an improvement to the point that it deserves a new blessing, which is all to the credit of the man. Moitzelecha min ha'oret is the credit of the man. And Bhairapriya Gofen is the credit of the man. So therefore, when Hashem gives us in the after 6 days of days of the week, which is Chol, which is Chol, and it gives us Shabbat, a higher holiday, a higher holiness, and we get the gift of Shabbat, we have to know what to do with this. Just don't take it and just use it or utilize it and abuse it. Take that higher potential you're stepping into, the high Kedusha, and develop, give something to the world which the world didn't have till now. Develop it. Be mekadesh, sanctify Shabbos. How do you sanctify Shabbos? You take that cup of wine. And the real kiddush is, Baruch atah, blessed are you God, the King of the world, that you created a fruit tree, a gofen, which could be developed into wine. But who made that wine? I. Hashem gave us a fruit, which is called Shabbos, a kiddush, a holiness. And I'm going to use it to develop it and to make a higher Kedusha, to bring in Shabbat into the 6 days. Every elevation, every connection, every use of a new contact with Kedusha, with the gift which God is giving, marriage, two people coming together and creating a new unison, a new place of the Shekhinah should develop and make Bhairapriya Gofen. Means to say that if you come into this world as this infant was born and takes for granted everything is coming for him. That is a nice child. It's not a rebellious child. What he lives is a member in the family, and everything's owed to him. He owns the father, he owns the mother, and the refrigerator, and the kitchen, and the education. Everything is coming to him. He doesn't feel any responsibilities that he has to add, that he has to develop, that he has to contribute to develop a new, higher level of accomplishment. He has to be a priya gofen, he has to be a moitzei lechem inos, create a bread, make it grise, make it think. He doesn't accomplish it, because everything was given to him. And therefore, this child, because he's abusive, in order he shouldn't be abusive, shouldn't go away, make sure, give him pure matzah, no chometz. So chometz is arrogancy. You have to give him pure wine, not waste. But after, when we lost everything, and we gave up on everything, and we recaptured ourselves, we rediscovered ourselves, Ani lo doidi, I am for my Hashem, and we coronate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we had to rebuild the second tablet to give ourselves over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, now you're going to have the same experience of leaving Egypt and becoming the chosen people, but you made yourself. Under any condition, you could make by the prayer. You could use the waste of the weed in the waste of even sanctify that, because you're always living a Kodesh Baruch Hu. You're always under the shadow of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now, what symbolizes waste? Let's go to the second point, which is a pretty deep point. Who created waste? Does anyone could figure out why do we have waste of weeds? Why they're waste of grapes? God had not created anything waste, because God does not create anything for waste. The original creation, the way Hashem intended and ordered and commanded creation, Hashem had not created any waste. Hashem ordered the earth. Toitza ordered, the earth should give out eight tree, a tree which is a fruit, plus oisapri, plus a producer's fruit. The tree himself is a fruit. The leaf himself is a fruit. And oisapri also produces fruit. That was the original order of Hashem. What did the earth do? He violated the order of Hashem. But the earth gave out eight oisapri, a tree which is producing a fruit, but he himself is not a fruit. He himself is tasteless, is meaningless. That's what the earth gave out. Said the first sinner, the first one who disobeyed God's order was the earth. We're not going to go into technicalities. How could he do it? He has no evil inclination. He has no freedom of choice. But there was a reason for it. God purposely created that the earth should be to disobey God's order. Why? Because God created man from earth. Man's body comes from earth. A man's greatness is that he should have the ability to sin. So how did God gave the tools for man to sin? He created them for the material, which is the earth. And the earth was a sinner in nature. The earth sinned to begin with. The earth disobeyed God. And when man came and he sinned, and God said, how come you sinned? He said, what do you want from me? You took me from earth. And my quality is a sinner. I'm a disobeyed to begin with. Why every child is a rebel? Because they come from earth. And the earth is a rebel, doesn't listen to God. And therefore, when God comes and punishes or disciplines men and women and the earth, Hashem says, Aruro Adomo Bavarecho, curse should be the earth because of you. Because you really took advantage of the earth's disobedience, and you really totally disobeyed her. You really rebelled. Therefore, when you're going to plant, you're going to grow waste. Until you're going to see, you're going to sweat a lot until you're going to see a piece of bread. You're going to have to plow and thresh and sift and ground and bake until you're going to see a piece of bread off your table. You're going to have to work very hard to take, and the rest is going to be all waste. Comes out, the whole existence of waste in this world was the result of the sin of man. Right? Now, asuka could only become kosher when you put waste. And he had a very big klotz kasha. If Adam would have never sinned, Hashem would have had a sukkah. What would we do with the sukkah? There would be no waste. We could never cover up our sukkah. That's a good kasha. And then it says, if we would never sin, there wouldn't be need a sukkah, because we came out of Egypt, we would never walk away from Hashem. If we have a Pesach, if we wouldn't have made the golden camp after that, there would be no sukkah needed. But we never Rosh Hashanah and Kippur needed. We never disowned Hashem. We never had to recolonize Hashem. It would be this nice Adam, as he was created a righteous man, he remained a righteous man. If we Jewish people, if we were born into the Pesach, it would have really been grown into the family and never rebelled against Hashem, never made the golden calves, we would have our redemption, would have our Torah, and there would never needed to be a Rosh Hashanah to reincarnate Hashem because we never uncrowned him. We need a Yom Kippur to give a gift because we never sinned. And if we're not just sick, we didn't have to go the second time out of Egypt because we never went back to Egypt. But since we had sinned, as Adam sinned, the Jewish people, and that's what Lotzata says very clearly, just like Adam, when he went through with all his experience of his cycle, as the man, the original man, the Jewish people, when they were born into Yetzias Mitzrayim, they went through the same thing as Adam went through, that we also sinned. That's what the golden calf. And therefore we need the Rosh Hashanah, we need the Yom Kippur to bring back Hashem, to bring back our Torah, which is Yom Kippur. And now we need a second set of leaving Egypt, which is, and how? The waste. We take that waste which we produced, and Hashem says, this waste, which is symbolizes sin, becomes your Hechsher Sukkah, becomes your sign that I forgave you, and everything becomes a mitzvah. We spoke about it. What is the real simcha of a person? When a person sinned, and he corrected the sin, and Hashem accepted his correction, there's no reason to be really rejoiceful, because you know, better would be if we'd have never sinned. If I lost $1,000, and I got back my $1,000, so what? I should have never lose it, I should never gain back my $1,000. But if I lost $1,000, I went through the pain of the loss, and after I regained, it's not $1,000, I gained $10,000, $100,000, so I wish I would have lost $100,000, at least I would regain $1,000,000. When you have a mitzvah, and you stay in a mitzvah, it's yours. But when you make an aveira, you make a sin, you create a waste. When you do tshuva out of fear, out of selfish interest, it's forgiven, it's erased. You're back to square one. There's no big reason to rejoice. But when you do tshuva out of love to Hashem, that means the aveira becomes a mitzvah again, every sin becomes a mitzvah. It's not a one time, you could do tshuva all the time. You do tshuva again and again and again, and you multiply that one aveira into so many mitzvahs as many times you do tshuva. That's what you do, Yom Kippur. We made sins, we created waste. But Yom Kippur say again, al-cheta, again, al-cheta, again, al-cheta. Why do you repeat this? Why do you repeat yourself? Because every repeat is another mitzvah, another repeat is another mitzvah. David the Melech got a gift, he got one little sin, whatever that is. The story with Bathsheba. But what David says? Chatani, I know my sin. And all his life, he made tshuva on it. So that one little sin multiplied into millions of mitzvahs. All his life was capitalizing on it. So it comes out, the sin originally is a waste. But that waste comes multiplied to multiplied to the process of Yom Kippur when we do tshuva out of love. And then what comes? Hashem says, come into the sukkah and cover your sukkah with your waste. This is my privilege. This is your production that you made for your aveiros and made mitzvahs. And when we come into the sukkah, and I look at that, I'm coming underneath the shadow of God, but what is covering me? I look at my waste, all my sins, which Hashem re-accepted, and has been recycled into mitzvahs. Can there be a greater simcha that you recaptured all your deeds, even the negative deeds, all your past, recapture them, and turn them all to mitzvah? That's my simcha, saying that's your greater simcha. One extra point. The Rambam says, what is it about tshuva? Well, tshuva is that first you stop doing what you used to do, you make a commitment that from now on I'm never going to do, and you embarrass what you had done, and then you come into the third level, you're regretting what you had done, and you're regretting it to such an extent, until Yoyid Olav Baal Telumas, until Hashem will testify, he only knows the really inner mechanism of you, how sincere you are with your tshuva. And Hashem has to testify how sincere you are, that you're never going to come back on it. And the commentaries are all puzzled with it. What does Hashem will testify? How does Hashem testify? Whenever testimony is given, there must be a recipient of the testimony. When you call a witness to testify in court, he has to be heard, he has to be documented, a testimony has to be received. That's the message of testimony. Testimony is also, I'm not going to go into the halachos, the particular dinim, the laws of testimony, edus means testimony. It's one thing Hashem lets you know this way, that way, by hint. But the Rambam, and it's not throwing words, especially in the Halacha, says, Yoyit Olav Yodeya Talumas. The one who knows the concealed intention of every person will testify for you that you're real Baal Tshuva. How does Hashem testify? And if Hashem testifies as a witness, means there must be a recipient of the witness. There must be that I acknowledge the testimony. How do we see the testimony that you acknowledge it? And here I'm going to give you one beautiful insight. Hashem testifies, I accept that you're real Baal Tshuva. How? Hashem says, come into my sukkah, come into my palace, come into my chamber. Now imagine, all of us have good hopes that one day you're going to meet Hashem. One minute, and Hashem will say, come, I take you up in my private office. I take you in my private chamber, come into my Holy of Holy. It would be a great gift to visit Hashem in the Holy of Holy that the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur was spent in the Holy of Holy. And we promised you're going to have a personal, intimate unity with Hashem in His total privacy. And imagine you walk in and you could imagine how Hashem's private office looks that you're being invited to. And there's nobody there except Hashem and you, and you are Hashem. As this spoke some lectures ago, as the Chosen Kala goes after the great chuppah, the great funfair, everything, but that's not the conclusion of the marriage. The conclusion of marriage is what happens after the chuppah, when they go into the cheder yichud, when they go into the private room. Nobody's there, except the Chosen Kala. All our funfair, all our life, Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, Mashiach, and think, oh, it's wonderful, it's a wedding, it's a banquet, it's a whole thing. But the real climax is when you enter privately with Hashem. You're the Kala, Hashem is the Chosen, and you're locked up privately with Hashem in His private chamber, invited. Can you imagine how the chamber of Hashem looks? And it will be shocking to you when you walk in. It says, I'm nobody, I'm nothing, I'm a little peasant, I'm a little Egyptian, I came out, I lived in this world the way I lived, and Hashem accepted me, took me out. Okay, I gave Him back my Torah, I gave Him back my life, I coronated Him. But imagine this is a trillion, 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 trillion miles in distance from Hashem's chamber, and Hashem is going to embrace me. Who am I? And you walk into that Hashem's chamber, and whatever you look, all the decoration and the roof and everything, it's your deeds, your sins, your petty stupidities. And Hashem took all of this, your petty stupidities of a lifetime's involvement, and because you repented, you gave yourself over to Hashem, Hashem converts them. That's the waste of your life, the sin, the product, the sin. I gave you matzah, and you gave me waste of the matzah. I gave you wine, you gave me the waste of it. And Hashem said, that's my decoration, that's my private chamber. This is where I'm inviting you. And he says, now I'm really happy. I had not wasted time. I accomplished something in my life. That if my life down here, my little petty deeds, became your decoration, Hashem, became your chamber, I'm building your chamber to you, there isn't a greater simcha, there isn't a greater enjoyment. Because when you come in as a nothing, and Hashem comes in His glorious beauty, I'm enjoying His glorious beauty, but I'm a schnorrer. Where is my partnership? What did I bring into the marriage? But when Hashem invites me to His privacy, He says, Hashem's privacy was built with me, was built with my face, that's my simcha. That's the greatest rejoicement that ever you could have. And that's Sukkot. Sukkot symbolizes that you lost nothing. Not with Tisha B'Av, not with Shavuos V'Tammuz, not with the golden calf, not with the breaking of the luchos. All this waste which we have behind us. But when we made the proper coronation of Hashem, giving ourselves back to Hashem, Rosh Hashanah, and a couple of cleansing of Yom Kippur, and we rebuild the second tablet, the Torah. And then Hashem says, come into my private chamber, which is Sukkot. And therefore, every Jew has license to enter into Hashem's chamber. Kol Ezrach v'Yisrael yesh v'sukkos. Every Jew has the privilege to walk into HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to sit in His private chamber, because all of us are producing that waste, and we do tshuva on that waste. That's the tshuva me'ahava. That's called Zman Simchoseinu. Every Jew. Therefore, in Sukkos is the mitzvah that we take the four species, Esrek and Lulav, and held us in Darova. What are the four species? So the Medrash says, those are the four categories of people. Esrog symbolizes the tzaddik, the righteous man who has Torah and mitzvahs. He's totally vaseless, has no waste. Beauty. By the way, why is it called Pri Eitz Hodor? It's called the tree of the beauty of the tree. So the Gemara says, Tam Itzoy Ketam period, the taste of the tree is like the taste of the fruit. It's the original or that earth give out a tree which is a fruit, plus it produces fruit that symbolizes it.
מגוון שיעורי כל הלשון נמסרים על ידי מגדי שיעורים ורבנים המשקיעים מזמנם וכוחם ללמד לרבים. אם ברצונכם וביכולתכם לסייע ולתמוך במגדי השיעורים ובמוסדות התורה שבאחריותם, תוכלו ליצור קשר ישיר עם הרבנים. לקבלת פרטי מגדי השיעורים ניתן לפנות למשרדי כל הלשון בטלפון 02-581-6622 או בכתובת דואר אלקטרוני lstrudel@hl.com.